All right. All right, here's what we're going to do. I mentioned a large amount of walking during the service today. Not a large amount. That would be erroneous. But you're going to walk some. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to take a field trip. All right. Everybody's taking a field trip through the next three songs. All right. Through the next three songs. We're going to sing three songs, and at some point in time, you're going to be dismissed to take a field trip through Cornerstone. What we want you to do is this, and this ties into the sermon. All right, so it's all going to come together as part of the State of the Family address. But we just dismissed our kids to go to their Sunday school classes, and we want you to see what that looks like. All right, so what we're going to do is during these next three worship songs, we're going to dismiss you by sections. All right, and what we want you to do is go upstairs, which is right through that door right there, and right up the steps to the right. Go up and look around. All right, stick your head into the classrooms, say hi to the teachers, greet the kids. Have a look at what it looks like, the different rooms, the layout, how unbelievably full it is, all that kind of stuff. Again, this will all make sense in a little while, but for now, we're going to send you on a field trip, all right? So we're going to start with the two wings in the front, all right? These two wings, this section and this section, you'll be dismissed first, all right? And then Kyle will just be in charge of dismissing people as we go along, all right? When he sees the majority of people come back in. All right, the next section to go will be the middle section down here.
Can I sing it? What? Next section, go!
Yeah, that'll be beautiful. Or I can just stay up here and yell it every once in a while if you want. So they'll come back in. The middle section down here will go next. All right, and then the three sections in the back will each go separately because there's not enough room for everybody at one time, and we don't really want to test the structural integrity of the building that we have yet to renovate. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. All right. Everybody get it? All right. Let's all stand back up. We're going to worship. And the two wings in the front, go ahead and head up. All right. Like I said, today is a special day. Kind of a strange day. Not very often you go running upstairs to the kids' ministries during the service. So, we'll get to that in a little bit. As you know, as I already said, today's weird. Again, don't define Cornerstone. This is your first experience by this. This is just what we do two times a year. Little family meeting, little gathering of the minds, the state of the family. I love the picture of the mom and the baby. It's just it's great. State of the family. Starting off with just some basic stuff. Hang on, we're going for a relatively fast ride here. Genesis 1:31, right? God makes everything in Genesis 1. God looks at it and he says that all that he saw he had made, behold, it was very good, right? It was very good. God made the world and he has authority over it, right? It is God that declares what is good and what is bad. It is God that declares what is right and what is wrong. God is the moral justifier. All right, God looked at the world and he made it. He said it's good. He has authority over it. Psalm 135, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. The Lord does whatever he pleases in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. All right, so not only does God have authority over the world, but because of that authority, he pretty much does whatever he wants. That's the kind of power that he has. It's the kind of rule that he has. Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that it contains, right? God owns everything and does not need us. If God wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he derives it by speaking a word. Right? He doesn't come to us and say, hey, could you do this for me? Right? It's not that God's plan rests on us. It's that God chooses to include us, which is beautiful. Those things being the case, we then get to a couple of key commands, right? In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. The beauty of our God is that, yes, he is this all-powerful, transcendent, sovereign God who has everything under his control in the whole world. He made it, he does what he wants in it, and he doesn't need our permission to do anything. He can take care of all by himself, but in his goodness, in his beneficence, he chooses to include us, right? He invites us to join the revolution, all right? Never forget the big picture, right? Everything that's going on in this world is about one thing. It's about this cosmic battle that we've been talking about for 5 months, good versus evil, sin and death, right? Versus God and his goodness and his life, right? It's this huge thing going on. This is the reality of the world. It's this revolution against evil, right? To reclaim and to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And God invites us to join that revolution. He leaves the responsibility for the revolution in the hands of a bunch of people, in the hands of Cornerstone. Right? The way that we change the world is by changing our worlds, individually, corporately, where we're at, seeking to see the kingdom established wherever it is that we are. Right? The best thing that we can do is to be changed and change makers and culture makers in the world that we live in. Right? God leaves this revolution in our hands, in the hands of Cornerstone. Acts 2. So then those who had received this word were baptized. There were added to that day about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. What does the revolution look like? It looks like this. Right? It looks like churches that are growing through doctrine, through teaching, through fellowship, through hanging out together, through praying together. Right? Little things like eating together matter when it comes to establishing kingdom community. God invites the church to carry out the revolution through true community. That's what we're all about. That's what we've been focusing on. That's where we've been putting all of our energies. Well, really, since I got here, the whole focus has been on community and what it means to develop community. That's the whole point of our small groups. That's the whole point of what we do here on Sunday mornings. It's the idea of being the people of God, of living together in community, of having lives, natural life, where we don't do a program, where it's not about going to a Bible study in the middle of the week. It's about living my life. My life happens to be defined by Jesus, right? Jesus calls me into community. Therefore, I must be a part of a small group. Why? Because I need to give to community, and I receive from community, right? I need accountability structures. I need life. I need people to speak into my life. They need me to speak into their lives, right? It's a trust. It's a dependency. That's a beautiful thing. All right, so this community aspect brings us back again to really pretty much the theme of what we always go to at the State of the Family Address, which is Cornerstone's journey, right? We're on a journey. Right, the world is not going to be changed by us overnight, right? As we can see, because we've had a few nights since then. Cornerstone's journey. Right, we're on this walk together. We're walking down this road, and we hear from God, and we try and do the things that God tells us to do, and it's a journey. Sometimes things go well. Sometimes things go poorly. You know, sometimes we have great attitude. Sometimes we have poor attitude. Sometimes leadership makes good decisions. Sometimes we make bad calls. Sometimes small groups are going well. Sometimes they're not. It's a journey, right? It's a walk. We're on this together, right? You don't just change the world overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day, although it did burn in one, which should tell us something. All right, Cornerstone's journey. All right, let's take a quick look at history here. 18 months ago, right, we purchased and began renovating on stage this building. Hasn't this been a great building? Has this been a great blessing? You know, I mean, God's goodness to us has just been remarkable. Now, how many of you remember what this place looked like before we bought it? Yeah, it's a lot different, right? You know, when we purchased Cornerstone back in January, you know, I mean, the heating and air conditioning didn't work. This room didn't look anything like this at all, right? It was, the lobby was different. It's been, oh man, three bars, you know, now we only have two. We're slowly working our way out of the bar scene. And the thing is, we have a lot of people here in recovery, which is really weird. We purchased and began renovating on stage. Phase one, the sanctuary and the offices. That's what we came in here knowing that we got to get this done right away. We need to fix this space. Remember the bars, the cage that was up here, and like the substage that came out? And I did want to preach just one message behind that cage. You know, that would have been worth it. The offices, we needed a place to do our administrative, you know, center and to run the church from somewhere, a place to counsel and to have meetings and that sort of thing. Well, that was accomplished. That was accomplished inside of 3 months. How many of you had a part in that renovation process in any way? I mean, childcare, you know, hammering, nailing, good. It was huge to watch that come together. Wasn't that a great time, a community, you know, working together, seeing projects move along? It was a really cool time. 14 months ago, we moved into OnStage. right? The first phase of the renovation was completed, and at that point, the second phase of the renovation started, which most of us didn't know about, and that was phase two was our apartments, which were finished about 12 months ago. Phase two of the apartments, well, sort of. We're still working on apartment four. But phase two consisted of the apartments, and a lot of that, we didn't know because it's not as visible as it is here. But there was a group of guys that took a huge amount of responsibility on themselves. Jason, Mark, Craig, Jody, Jeff, Frank, a bunch of guys chipped in to do this part that's relatively an unseen part. Well, unless you can go in those two blue doors, which not a lot of you can because you don't have keys to get up there and see what was done. If you think that this place looked bad, you should have seen the apartments. The apartments were in rough shape, and those guys, our deacons, primarily did a fantastic job in renovating those things. If you see them, that the apartments provide revenue for Cornerstone that pretty much pays our mortgage almost. The fact that we're able to rent those things out and then to receive that income is a huge blessing to Cornerstone. It's again something that we don't all see at the grassroots. It's not like being in this room. But the apartments were a huge part. And so if you see one of those guys at Cornerstone, just shake his hand one day. Tell him thanks for his time. Because it was a lot of unseen work. And just say thank you for what it means, because it does mean a huge amount to us. Six months ago, we had Vision Sunday. All right, Vision Sunday happened. And Vision Sunday was that one day that I kept talking about, since the day, I think the first Sunday I was here. I said, look out for January 8th, 2006, because something big's going to happen that day. That's when we're going to talk about, a congealed, put together, gelled vision for what it is that God has for us. Elders went away on our retreat, came back from the retreat with a picture of five key things that we believe God is leading us deeply into here at Cornerstone. So these are the five things that we push toward: powerful, intimate prayer, loving community, whole life stewardship, intentional discipleship, regional transformation, right? We see powerful intimate prayer through prayer gatherings, in our small groups, loving community through our small groups, whole life stewardship through many different avenues. Dennis's stewardship moments here on Sunday mornings, again, through the opportunity to share our lives with one another in small groups. You'll learn a lot more about whole life stewardship in the fall, particularly because that's going to be our focus in the fall. Intentional discipleship, that has a lot to do with our leadership teams, with our kids' ministries. It's just intentionally looking at how we are doing discipleship and growing people in Jesus here at Cornerstone. And then regional transformation. We'll talk more about that coming up. The first thing that I want to, there's three things that I want to focus on this morning. And there you go. It should be changing. There we go. These three things we're going to talk about today. At this State of the Family address, these are the three things that need most attention. All right, powerful intimate prayer, intentional discipleship, and regional transformation. All right, so we're going to look at these three things in three different ways throughout the rest of the State of the Family address. Everybody get it? All right, so this is where we're headed. Okay, the first thing we're going to talk about is intentional discipleship. All right, 6 months ago, we unveiled this intentional discipleship thing. And at that point, we talked about goals that we had for intentionally discipling people here at Cornerstone. It has a lot to do with our small groups, and more than anything, it had a lot to do with our kids' ministries and restructuring our kids' ministries and restructuring our youth ministry. Today, we're going to look at intentional discipleship by introducing a fundraising project to renovate our children's ministry. All right, phase one was sanctuary and offices. Phase two is the apartments. Today we introduce phase three, which is a renovation of the upstairs, what all of you saw this morning. In January, we looked at intentional discipleship, and we unveiled, this is what it currently looks like upstairs. Right? This is what it currently looks like upstairs. Except this picture doesn't really do it justice. Yeah, you have the stairs here, which are sort of like a bottleneck, which you all experienced, right? If you're claustrophobic, that might have been rough for you going up those steps. You'll see there are those three main rooms that run across the side, run across the front here, a huge over-spacious hallway, and two main classrooms that the kindergarten through fifth grade classes use, and one for our 4 and 5 year old room. We just, it's just, we that's the space that we have. And so we work in it. Does anyone here have any questions about why we think we need to renovate the upstairs? Seriously, I'll answer the question because I don't think there's any questions to be had. We need to renovate. It is time for phase three. Right? It is time to renovate our kids' ministries. This is what we want the upstairs to look like, and then I'll talk about why we want to renovate. These are the plans. Just to let you know where the steps are, right over here on the bottom left-hand side, if you can see the little laser pointer right there, the steps, we're going to reverse the steps. Okay, you're not going to enter into the children's ministry upstairs from this door anymore. You're going to be entered from the lobby. The stairway is going to be widened, and you'll have an entrance from the lobby, and it'll open up when you walk up the steps. You'll walk into an open area where we can do registration, right? And there'll be bathrooms. That's what these two small rooms are here on the side. During sermons, you know, you sometimes might hear, you know, it's kids coming downstairs to use the bathrooms. You know, they need bathrooms upstairs. So we're putting in a boys' room and a girls' room right over here in the bottom corner. There's a hallway that's going to extend all the way down the middle, three classrooms here and two larger classrooms on the south side of the building. On the other side as well, we need to put a second exit. And so a second exit will be put in over on this far side, sort of shooting down through what is now the toddler room, but only on that side. These are the plans that we have, right? This is what we want to see. It's going to be a complete gut job. We're going to go up there and we're going to take a bunch of people who like to be violent and rip everything down, and we're going to carry it out, throw it in dumpsters, and we're going to start from scratch. And this renovation is going to be a full renovation project. We're looking at heating and air conditioning supply that will also, if you work in one of these nurseries in the summertime, you can give an amen that it gets real hot in there. You know, we're going to drop air conditioning down into those rooms. We're going to heat and cool, obviously, all the rooms upstairs. You know, it's going to be framing. We're going to paint everything. It's going to look great by the time that we're done. And it's something that I don't think that the need for needs to be sold all that much, right? The upstairs needs to be renovated for several reasons. Three come to mind. The first one is this. Number one, in case you haven't noticed, the upstairs is just a crappy place right now. You know? I mean, thankfully, our children's workers are flexible people who love Jesus and love kids, you know, and are willing to put up with a space of disorganization and of lack of decoration and lack of air conditioning, you know, in order to love kids better. This is as much, in my mind, for our children's workers as it is for our kids, because we want to take care of the people who take care of our kids. Right, so that's the first, in case you haven't noticed. It just needs it, you know? The place needs a renovation. Second, in case you haven't noticed, we got babies coming out all over the place. Every time we look around, you know, there's another pregnant lady. I mean, I've stopped drinking the water here just in case. And that's awesome, you know? The Psalms say that the children are a treasure from the Lord, that they're our inheritance from God, our stewardship, one of our deepest stewardships, belongs to our kids, you know? And it's great that we are a church full of young families, you know, that are having kids and want to raise them up in a community that loves Jesus. We want to provide a space to do that well. And we're not going extravagant. We're not going to line the banisters with 24-karat gold. We just want to give a nice space for our kids to learn and for our children's workers to work in. So, in case you haven't noticed, it needs it, and we got a lot of kids coming. I mean, those rooms up there are full, right? And they're packed out. Now, wait till it gets to be 90, 95 degrees outside, and it's packed out upstairs. Then it gets really, really hot in there, and we just need the space. We need a better space. Second point, we love our kids. Not my kids, right? Not your kids. They're our kids. At Cornerstone, we work together. At Cornerstone, we are family. That's why we have family meetings, you know, to talk about stuff, to talk about some issues. This is an issue. It's not about my kids and your kids. These are our kids. You know, if we're here someday and I see, if I see your son holding your daughter off the edge of one of these, you know, I'm not just going to stand there and watch. I'm going to intervene. Why? Because I love your kids and I don't want your daughter falling on her face. And I don't want your son to get what's coming to him after that, you know? We take care of each other. We're family. We need to love one another's kids. That's the whole point of our children's ministries. Listen very closely. Our children's ministries do not exist to entertain your children while you do church. All right, everybody get that? Our children's ministries do not exist to entertain your kids while you do church and while you meet with Jesus. That takes kids from the level that God wants them at and puts them kind of down in the level of possessions, you know. And, you know, you got to get somebody to take care of your dog while you go away on vacation. You got to get somebody to take care of your kids while you're at church, you know. No. That's the wrong way to think of things. Rather, these are our kids. I value my kids. It's impossible for me to tell you how much I value my kids. It's impossible for you to tell me how much you value your kids, right? Well, it's also impossible for me to tell you how much I value my brother and sister. And my brother and his wife are pregnant right now. And they're going to be having a baby, I don't know, sometime. Baby's coming. I have enough time, hard of time keeping track of my own kids. But I'm going to value that kid. I swear. I'm going to go home and find out when the heck she's due. So that I can come back to Cornerstone and let you know. What is it?
October 6th.
See, there's my aunt. My aunt values us. See? Aunts value their nephews and nieces, even in their ignorance and stupidity, you know? We value each other. We take care of each other's, take care of each other. And that means that I take care of your kids. It means that you take care of my kids. It means our children's workers take care of one another. Our children are valuable. And it is so important for us to go there. Our children's ministries do not exist to entertain your kids while you do church. Our children's ministries exist, listen closely, to partner with you in your responsibility to raise your kids in Jesus. We're not taking the responsibility for you. If you think that bringing your kids to church on Sunday or small group and like them getting some teaching there is going to change their lives, you are dead wrong. All right, that is not going to change your kids. We hope that has a massive part in changing your kids' lives. We hope that we can be massive instruments of God's truth and love to teach your kids what it means. But make no mistake about it, it's your responsibility. And so what we want to do is come alongside you and say, look, we've got a great ministry. We've got people that love children. We've got people that will love your kids. You come, and when your kids go to be taught, and the reason why we separate things is not to separate families, it's to separate learning levels. You know, obviously children can't learn on the same levels that we can. Although we're going to test that formula on July 23rd, just to let you know. July 23rd is going to be wacky, wild stuff. You know, plan on being here, because it's going to be insane. So we do this thing not to entertain kids, but to partner with you in raising your kids. And we want to be able to do that in a nice spot. And we want to be able to do that in a place that, we're outgrowing the classrooms and it's just, it needs it. It needs the work. Third thing, this is about treasure revealing heart. All right, ultimately, this is about treasure revealing heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. All right, in order for us to do this complete gut job renovation that it needs, we are going to need money to do it. We're going to ask for your money to do it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, we do, this is a life principle here, is that we do the things that we want to do when it comes down to it. We always do the things that we want to do. You know, I want to do this. You know, I would really like to, you know, have my devotions more, but I just don't have time. Well, sure you do. You got 24 hours in a day. Everybody's got 24 hours in a day. Find time. I really would like to do a small group. I just can't. Well, sure you can. You know, you just don't. You know, it's just a matter of being real. It's a matter of being, you know, real with the situation. Treasure revealing heart. You know, well, we do the things we want to do. And we put our money where we want to put it. We spend our money on the things we want to spend it on. What I'm asking us to do, and what the elders are asking us to do, and what the deacons are asking us to do, is to spend our money on our kids through the course of this summer. All right? We want our treasure to reveal our heart. I think that every one of us in here will rally around the cry of we love our children, and we want our children to know Jesus, and we want them to learn about Jesus in a good space. Right, in a nice place that is made for them, and that our children's workers can work well in, not worry about safety concerns and squishy plywood and whether or not lights are going to work, whether or not it's going to be 100 degrees in their room with 25 kids in an overcrowded room. We want to value our. This is about treasure revealing heart when it comes down to it. And I think that we at Cornerstone have massive vision. And I think that we understand that part of that vision is about our kids. There's a story in 1 Kings 20 about Hezekiah, right? These guys from the Babylonian government hear about Israel's riches and like all of its palaces and its greatness. And so they send some people over to Israel to see what it looks like. And they find King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah brings them in and is like, oh yeah, come on in. Come on in. And he takes the Babylonians and he takes them on a whole tour of the whole land, all of his palaces, all of the temple, I mean, all the riches of Israel. And he shows them around and he just dwells in his pride. Look at what I've built. Look at what I've done. Isaiah the prophet hears about this after the Babylonians have left. And he goes to Hezekiah and he says, Hezekiah, did you do this? Did you really show these guys around and take all the credit? Did you brag about this like it was yours? And Hezekiah said, yeah. Isaiah said, your kingdom, when you're gone, your kingdom's going to be done away with. Your children are going to be taken into captivity and they're going to be made into eunuchs in the prince of Babylon's palace. You know what Hezekiah says? At least I'll have peace in my lifetime. At least security is not going to leave while I'm king. Man, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want peace and security for ourselves. We want a future for our kids, right? I want to change Lebanon as much for my sons and daughter as I do for you and I and the beauty of the world around us. You know, I want to raise my kids here in Lebanon. I want them to do so in a place, and Cornerstone is a huge part of that. The legacy that we leave here at Cornerstone, we want our kids to step into this massive inheritance, right? This heritage spiritually that God has blessed us with. And so our focus must be on our kids. I don't think we have an option about this one. We have to do this renovation. It will reveal our hearts. It will reveal the treasure of our hearts. So the question is, based on this vision of partnering with Families for Ministry, of giving our children's workers a great space to work in, of giving our kids a great environment to learn in, and the need that exists there, as you all saw with your own eyeballs this morning, the question is, how are we going to do that? At this point, I'm going to turn it over to our stewardship chair and teacher, Dennis. Dennis is going to come on up and join me up here. Come on up and talk about the actual workings of what... Oops, didn't mean to do that. Of what this is going to look like and answering the question, how? All right. You have the mic. Oh.
So, how does all this happen? I'm the numbers guy, so I'm going to crunch some numbers with you. Basically, we, based on some estimates, not quotes, but estimates for the work, this project is going to cost us between $70,000 and $75,000. We obviously can't get quotes until we're ready to work because nobody will quote that far in advance. But that's the best estimate. And that includes the AC, probably AC for and heat for the lobby too, which we have a terribly inefficient system there, and it's costing us way too much to run. So we're trying to incorporate that as well. But anyway, but we don't think we need to raise that much money. We would like to do some of the work ourselves, like we did the last time. Working together builds real community, and we have a lot of talented people and willing workers, and so we are only trying to raise $50,000. Did you hear me say only? And here's how I envision doing that. We'll have it up here on the screen to break it down. Well, first of all, before I get to that, in Matthew, Jesus tells a parable. A certain man, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to summarize the story. Jesus tells a story of a man who's going away, and he gives out his belongings to his servants to take care of things while he's away, and he gives to one, he gives five, talents, to another he gives two, and to another he gives one, and he just tells them to be stewards of that while I'm gone. And I bring that up just to say that we have different abilities, we have different talents, we have different resources, each of us, and God gives to us according to our ability. So looking now at the chart on the screen, if we need to raise $50,000, I divided it up like this, and hopefully while we go over this, you think about where you can fit into this. If we just have one giver who gives $10,000, that'll net us $10,000. If we have two givers who can give $5,000, that gives another $10,000. And then if we have 10 givers who each give $1,000, that nets another $10,000. Then we need 30 givers to give $500 each, and that'll net us $15,000. And 20 givers at $250 gives us another $5,000. That adds up to $50,000 that we need. And that takes 63 givers to do that. And I believe we have 63 giving units in our church. So I think that is easily doable. Now obviously, it doesn't have to be broken down exactly like that. That's just an idea to show you how it can work. $50,000 sounds like insurmountable, but when you break it down and we all work together, it's not as insurmountable. I mean, we could have 30 $1,000 givers would give us $30,000, and that would eliminate the top three categories there. But anything is possible. I do believe there are people here who could take on those top two positions, but God must call you to do that. I can't. If God is blessing you with abundant resources, God is also calling you to share. So I challenge everyone to prayerfully consider how you can fit in to this capital campaign. Where, look at that chart and figure out where God would have you to be on there. Now, listen to me. This is very, very important. While we do this, we don't want to become a church focused on brick and mortar, essentially on buildings. We need to remain a church. We want to remain a church focused on people and programs. And that means that we need to continue doing what we're doing now. Our current giving has to continue as it is, and this on the screen needs to be all in addition, or else we become a church that's focused on brick and mortar, we become a dead church, we might as well close the doors and go do something else. We need to continue focused on people. We need to continue our budget as it is today. This is in addition. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. If you're here today and you've never given, if you're a dollar bill contributor when the plate comes past, just because you feel guilty because the plate's coming past, I challenge you to go beyond that. God says, if you give, I will bless you. So I challenge you to try it. And if you wait till the end of the month to give and see what's left, there will never be anything left. God commands us to give of the first fruits. So determine what you would like to do. Take it out of your income first and see if you can live on the rest. And I believe God will provide a way to do that. This will require some sacrificial giving to make this work. And we live a high lifestyle. You've heard me talk about that lots of times. We take extravagant vacations. We eat out a lot. We drive nice vehicles. And a lot of this money could be raised just by dropping down one notch on the lifestyle scale. Take a less extravagant vacation. Eat out a couple less times in a month. Postpone buying the new car for a year. And it would free up a lot of resources. God will bless you for it. We are a very affluent people. Jay was saying a while ago, we have money for what we want, and that is so true. If we in fact are committed to making a place for our kids, we can do it. I have a good news, bad news situation for you. Now, the good news is God has enough money to do this today. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. I believe we can do this without any problem. We have the resources to do it. And this is, it sounds like a lot, but it is not insurmountable. If we're committed to this job, we can do it. And I promise you, as a stewardship guy here, that I will make sure that all your dollars are spent well.
That's the truth, too. Yeah, he does ensure it. A couple of things. Number one, Dennis was talking about regular giving. You folks have been giving great. You know, I mean, seriously, Cornerstone is... You're giving of the overflow, the abundance that God has given you. And I just trust your eyes are open to the blessing that you're receiving from that. Even for this budget year, you folks have been giving so wonderfully well. So again, keep that going. This needs to be in addition to. Most of all, remember that this is about being sold on vision, right? This is about the need for our kids. This is about the treasures of our heart being revealed. And so we together come into this together. Let me remind you of one other thing. We already did this once, and we did it. Right? God provided. When we needed to raise money in a short amount of time, you know, you folks stepped up in a huge way when it came to the purchase of this building. All right, and I believe you can do it again, and I think God's going to bless beyond. More than anything, hear what Dennis said. Make this a priority. The question is not how much money do I have to give, okay? The question is not how much money can I give. What is the question not? Okay, that wasn't very good. The question is not, how much money can I give? So what's the question not? That's right. The question is, how much money does God want me to give? Okay, this is about a call from God for you to give, not about what you have left over. Listen, God will provide. He promises. He will never leave you high and dry. All right, God will provide. What is God saying to you? You know, somebody comes up to me at the end and you say, I'm poor, but God's wanting me to give $5,000. Great. Make it happen. You're going to have to keep your eyes really wide open to see what that is. But God will provide. God is calling us, right? What is God calling you to? That's the question. It's not what do I have? It's what does God want me to do? In order to buy into this vision of our kids and giving our kids a great space. Ultimately, when you think that way, what you're talking about is faith, right? You're talking about living on faith. Okay, I'm taking off the top. I'm going to take $400 out of my paycheck, you know, once a month, and I'm going to give $1,200 over the course of the next 3 months. I don't have a clue I'm going to make it in that, but that's what God's telling me to do. Great, then that's what I'm going to do. And watch God provide. God always honors faith. Jesus does it again and again. So many times he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. We have little because we expect little. Think big and look at what God does. All right? Hey, if you have any questions at all, please talk to me. Talk to Pastor Tim. Not right now. Steve. The time period is we're starting the fundraising now. We want to have the fundraising finalized by September 1st so that we can... give our contractor plenty of leeway. All right, so we got 3 months in here. We got a little bit of grace time in there at the end, but we our goal is September 1st, so that we can work with our contractors.
How will we differentiate between just regular giving and?
Yeah, man, Steve's a stud. All right, the way you differentiate between regular giving will continue to be in the offering. When you want to give a gift toward the children's ministry building renovation, there's a box right back there on a table in big blue letters. It says children's ministry building renovation. That box will stay there, okay, and you can put your donations into that box. Anything else? All right, good. That was good. Appreciate it. So let me stop right now and pray. I want to dedicate this project to Jesus, then we're going to move on. God, thanks for... Thanks for Cornerstone, Lord. Thanks for our kids. Our kids are, they're our inheritance. They're a treasure from you. And we want to value them by giving them a great space to learn in, to grow in, to know about you, a great space for our kids' workers to work and to serve you there. God, I just want to dedicate this project to you. We believe this is something you're calling us into, or else we would not have even opened our mouths. And so, God, we're following you here, and we ask you to provide. Lord, these, you know, the number 5 with 4 zeros behind it is really intimidating to us a lot of times. And we think, what can that mean? But in teamwork, in the community, and as you provide, you know, $50,000 is not something that you're looking at going, gosh, how are these folks going to do it? Because you're waiting to bless as we step out in faith, God. So make us people full of faith for every person here. Lord, I pray that you increase our faith, so that we might see you in the glorious provision that you want to give us, and so that we can value our kids well. In Christ's name, amen. Again, if you have any questions, please see me, see one of the elders, and we can answer those for you. All right, 6 months ago, powerful intimate prayer. Today, we're going to talk about powerful intimate prayer by, again, calling us to prayer. All right, when it comes to the state of the family address, and one thing that we really need to step up in is this, okay, our prayer. Why? Prayer is our warfare, okay? Prayer is our warfare. We are engaged in a battle here in Lebanon, all right? And we all know that. We've talked about this for months and months now. I've been teaching on what it means and the way we engage it and what it looks like. We must pray, okay? We must pray more than we're praying now. Prayer is our community, right? Prayer is connection with one another. Prayer just brings us together, right? Prayer is community. There is nothing, I think, more beautifully binding than true, deep prayer with one another. Particularly, I mean, and you can experience this, you know, so you're somebody who prays with your spouse, the connection that becomes to where you realize that your marriage stinks because you haven't been praying. So you're like, gosh, we got to pray more. And you get back and it's like, oh yeah, everything, what was I missing? The connection that community is missing is oftentimes that we don't pray together. Prayer is our connection. It's our connection to Jesus, right? It's communication. If all we ever do is hear from him and we never talk back, then that whole concept of relationship goes right out the window. Prayer is where your leaders are calling you. All right. As leaders, as your elders, we are telling you that you need to pray. Okay, you need to pray. This is simple, basic Old Testament stuff. You know, there's an issue. Leaders say, you know, the king says, ah, what do we do? We got to pray. Okay, here's the issue. All right, Lebanon's going to hell in a handbasket. We need to pray. All right, we need to pray. We need to get on our faces before Jesus. And continue to listen, right? And prayer is as much about listening as it is anything else. I'm going to talk about warfare more in a little bit, but things in Lebanon are getting stepped up to some new levels. I'll tell you what I mean again in just a little bit, all right? But prayer is where your leaders are calling you. We need to pray, all right? You choose us. We're here. We try and listen to Jesus. He's telling us to pray. We're telling you to pray. We need to pray more together. How? One Tuesday night a month is not too much to start. You should be here on the third Tuesday nights of the month. Clear it. You know, I mean, you're looking at 2 hours out of a month that we're calling for huge community prayer. Put it on your calendar. Right? Don't let anything come in the way. Tuesday nights, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, 8:30, worship, prayer. One night a month we can do. All right? You can do that. We all have the same amount of time. You know, try and make it a priority. Try and make it a priority. When we come together, it's been great. Well, the last time we prayed together, the room was packed. You know, pretty soon we're going to move into the sanctuary. That's the idea, right? That's the goal. There are going to be things that are going to try and combat with the third Tuesday night of the month. Understand that, all right? There are going to be things that come up, right? We're just asking you to make that a priority. Come and pray with us on the third Tuesday night of the month. Small groups. Right, small groups. When we pray together in our small groups, we have to be intentional. We have to be real. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that from Pastor Tim and I in the context of your small groups. Understand prayer. I understand prayer is that it's about this idea of connection. Okay, connection to Jesus, connection to one another, and prayer is powerful. All right, the church that does not pray is the church with no power. We don't want to be a powerless church because we're called to a huge battle. All right, so we must pray. We must come together and pray. Make this a priority. When it comes to the state of our family, we need to pray more. 6 months ago, we started talking about regional transformation. Today, we talk about regional transformation by becoming the church, capital C. You say, but we are the church. Yeah, yeah. We're a church, but there's a huge church, capital C, in Lebanon. All right? Why? We are not called to and never will change Lebanon on our own. Right? We are not called to and never will change Lebanon on our own. That is not God's plan for this region. God's plan for this region is for the churches to come together and to bind together so that together as the church in Lebanon, capital C, we move together, one unified force, in seeking to take our city back for Jesus. Right? But what's required for that is unity. What's required for that is a coming together. I mean, we all live and serve in our own local churches, and that's great. We don't want that to change at all. But we're going to begin to cross-pollinate. We're going to begin to do things together. All right. The main way that we want to do that is the Unity Weekend coming up as a kickoff to that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The second thing is that you need to realize that we have to become the church, and we have to begin standing together because the spiritual warfare level in Lebanon is on high, okay? When I got here, it was like on medium to low. Since we have begun to really be proactive in bringing churches together and in praying together in our pastoral prayer group and ministry prayer group on Wednesday mornings through the creation of the Lebanon 222 team, the spiritual warfare in Lebanon has upped itself several notches. And as leaders, we see that on several different levels, from just feelings in our churches to issues that we're having with one another, to straight-up demonic activity. I mean, there's been all kinds of stuff going on. There's no doubt that the spiritual warfare is being ratcheted up. We are on someone's, we're there. You know, the enemy is looking at this and saying that the church in Lebanon is starting to not mess around. And so it's so important for us to stand together as churches. Lebanon is still under the radar, though. Well over a decade, Lancaster has been a huge focus, spiritually speaking, from a spiritual authority thing. The Harvest Net out of Ephrata Community Church in Ephrata has been this huge force in Lancaster, bringing churches together and doing regional transformation there. And Lancaster has been, I think, the focus of a huge amount of warfare over the course of the last decade. Lebanon is sort of like, you know, we're a little bit north and west, and we sort of are out there, and a lot of the focus of what was in Lancaster, I think, spiritually speaking, is beginning to move this direction, but not really. We've been under the radar for a long time in spiritual realm, but things are beginning to really be brought to the focus. The warfare is getting ratcheted up. I'm speaking in language that maybe a lot of people don't resonate with, but whatever, that's the truth. All right, so how is this going to happen? All right, how is this going to happen? The first thing is Unity Weekend. Take out your bulletins and those two things that you got, all right, two sheets of paper that you got. All right, one of them looks like a flyer. It says Block Party on it, and it has some dates, and it is a flyer. This is the flyer that we'll be passing out on Wednesday night. All right, Wednesday night is a distribution in North City. We're going to be just blanketing North City with flyers about our block party at Monument Park next Saturday on Love Lebanon Valley Day. Love Lebanon Valley Day is the first event happening in the Unity Weekend. If you need one of these, put your hands up. Ben has some. If you didn't get one of these things, stick your hand up nice and high so Ben knows where you are. But I'll get that to you. Love Lebanon Valley Day is the first day. If you take that flyer and you flip it over, all right, you will see sign-ups. These are all the things that we need help with. All right? These are all the things that we need help with. And we want everybody at Cornerstone to be out next Saturday at some point in the day. You can see that there's specific time slots to sign up for. Please sign up for more than one if you can. And if you've got 1 to 4 open, you know, then just mark that on that sheet of paper. Come out. I mean, it's an all-day kind of a thing. Setup is involved. Cleanup is involved. All together, you know, that comes from a 9 o'clock to a 6:30 job. And we need as much help as we can get for that. If for no other reason than to be the presence of the body of Christ in Monument Park. You know, the idea here, this isn't like we're not bringing in Billy Graham to preach. Right, we're just having a block party for North City. Right? We're just taking a park that frequently is the place is the place of drug transactions and prostitution, and we're saying for this day, this is Jesus' ground. You know what I mean? Yeah, isn't that great to take a place that, you know, experiences such brokenness in so many levels, in drugs and prostitution and sex. I mean, and it's right, it's in North City, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the bad part of town. It's really not that bad of a part of town. You know, it just looks like it, and we just hear stupid rumors about it. You know, most of those things probably aren't even true. Just come. I mean, that place is going to be, we're redeeming that ground for this day. And we're just going to bless the city. We're giving away everything. Hot dogs, cotton candy, soda, right? We're good music, games for kids, pony rides. You know, I mean, you can see it all sitting there in front of you. So sign up for something. Sign up for something now, okay? And put it in the joy boxes on the way out. All right, put it in the joy boxes on the way out. The joy box. There's a joy box there. There's a joy box over there. But please fill that out. Please fill it out now if you can. If you know your schedule and you're able to dedicate some time to that, please do it. Again, we need help in all facets of this. If you don't know what your schedule is, if you need to clear some part of your schedule, fine. Take this with you. Call the church this week. Email me. All of the ministry contact places, if you have questions about it, are on that other sheet that you have, right? All the different ministry contact people, because we're partnering with River of Life Church of God in this, right? We're being the church in Lebanon. The coolest stuff is happening this Saturday. We're doing a block party with River of Life, right? Lebanon Christian Fellowship, Freedom in Christ, and Family Christian Fellowship are doing this big bash on another part of town. Dove is doing something in their parking lot. There's a huge event going on over in Myerstown and in Bethel. There's stuff happening in Anvil and Cleona, right? The whole Lebanon Valley Prayer Network is a part of this day. We are blessing our valley, and we're saying that for this part in time, the church is going to stand up and say, look, we love you people. We love you enough that we just want to have fun, right? We just want to hang out. We're not looking to, you know, we're not looking to proselytize or anything like that. We're going to pray with people, or we're going to tell them about who we are. But this is about blessing, right? This is about the greatest weapon that we have. We talked about it last week in the sermon, love. We just want to love our city. We just want to love our region. We just want to love on them, right? We just want them to know that, hey, Jesus loves you, and we love you too. This is a cool thing, is this not? I mean, this bit, the Lebanon Valley, right? I mean, Lebanon County, sort of like, oh, Lebanon County. No, Lebanon County, right? Where churches get together and have fun, you know, and love their people. It's great. Sign up. Sign up for something, come out and help. More than anything, there's two things to be aware of on the bottom of that sheet. Sorry, three things to be aware of on that sheet. The distribution night, okay, 6:30, we meet here at Cornerstone. Okay, we're gonna drop flyers between 14th Street and Lincoln, the railroad tracks and Maple, right in that general area. And we're just going to try and blanket the whole city with as much publication as we can. All right, so plan on being here at 6:30. All small groups, be here at 6:30, all right, this week. Second thing is that there's going to be a prayer time Friday on the lunch hour. If you can make it, if you can get away from lunch during the work day, or if you don't work during the day on Friday and you want to come out to Monument Park at noon, we're going to be prayer walking there. It'll be a cool time. We need some stuff, and you can see what those things are. There's a list on the top of that sheet as far as basic supplies. If you can supply any of these things, please just let us know. Drop me an email, give a call to the church. If nobody picks up, leave a voicemail. Hey, I'm just letting you know I'm bringing, you know, 40 dozen sugar cookies. That'd be great. I was just joking. 40 dozen is a lot. 480 cookies. One thing that we don't need that I found out this morning, Steve emailed me. He said we have plenty of cakes. Okay, we got plenty of cakes for the cakewalk, which is cool. It's like a musical chairs kind of a game where you win a cake. Hey, I'm all about cake, as you can tell. Sorry, Tony. But one thing we need right now is sugar cookies for a kid's table so they can decorate sugar cookies, right? And just you can see what we need on there. If you can provide any of this stuff, particularly sugar cookies, then please just email or call the church and let us know what you can bring. All right? If you have any questions about what any of those work projects or service projects entail, you can contact any one of those people on those sheets. That's Love Lebanon Valley Day. Fill it out, throw it in the joy box on the way out, or give a call to the church this week, and you know, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. I mean, really, if you got something going on Saturday, this is worth breaking away from that for a little bit so you can hang out with us for a little while. All right? Be here on Saturday. It's going to be so cool. Love Lebanon Valley Day. Sunday continues the Unity Weekend. Sunday morning, we're going to be exchanging worship teams and pastors with River of Life Church of God, the church that we are partnering with for Love, Lebanon Valley Day. Steve and his team are going to be here, and we're going to be there, and it's going to be a great way to just get to know one another's leadership teams. So it's going to be cool. That night, we have a Unity gathering here at Cornerstone. It's a time when all the churches involved in Love, Lebanon Valley Day are going to come together here for a celebration. We did one of these before back in October. It's a great time. We're going to worship together. Yours truly gets to bring the word that night. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time together. So plan on being here for Unity Weekend. Plan on the whole thing. It's going to be well worth your time. Another way that we continue to bring about regional transformation is really through our small groups. I mean, I know it's a cornerstone sort of a thing. It's like we do small groups here. But the more community that we foster, right, the more community that we bring to any part of our city, through any of our churches, right, the more transformation happens. Community transforms things. Oops, sorry. Living in spiritual reality. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's so easy for us to come to church on Sunday and, like, hear stuff and think that it's great, and then just like hop back into life, you know, and go back to living however you lived before. Realize that what you experience here in the community, what you experience at your small groups with community, what you experience in, like, if you're in Bible studies or if you have key friendships with other Christians, what you experience in those communities, that's reality, okay? And the other stuff is not. It's like the movie The Matrix, you know? You think you're alive, but you're really just a battery for some machines. I'm just kidding. I don't think that's real. Maybe. I'm just joking. Maybe. Now I got you going. All right. But realize that spiritual reality is what you experience in community, that's reality, that the goal is to live there, right? If the Holy Spirit is present here, realize that you can have this all the time. The goal is for this to become your reality. That's how you regionally transform things. Is by living in God's presence, right, with the community of believers. Mel, you can go ahead and get the kids. We're not going to sing after this. I have one more slide I really want to get to, and we're running short on time. Is that cool? Okay. All right. Three other things that I want to point out that I think just might be some matters of family business here. The first one is this: is that a critical spirit has to go. A critical spirit has to go. I think that we at Cornerstone have a tendency to look at ourselves really critically and to sometimes look at one another like really critically. And a lot of times I think we compare ourselves to other people or maybe to other churches and that kind of thing. We need to remember who our standard is, okay? We need to remember that our standard is Jesus. And let the world do what it wants, you know? Let everybody else do what it wants. Cornerstone has a calling on it. And what our goal is to find that calling and to pursue that calling. That's our goal. If you're concerned about stuff along the way, that's totally fine. I mean, God's going to speak to your heart about things, and we need to hear about it. You need to communicate that with the pastors, with elders, all that kind of stuff. That's just fine. But one thing that you got to be really careful about is developing a critical spirit, okay? Because a critical spirit is not from God. A critical spirit is from the enemy, right? And so a lot of times what happens is, like, we pick up on an issue or a problem, or a small group does or says this, or a person does or says this to us. And what we do is, instead of handling that conflict rightly by going to someone and talking to them about it, we tend to, like, just stew on it, you know, and anger and frustration and bitterness can happen. And that produces a critical spirit, which oftentimes produces, you know, just us flying off at the mouth. And that just brings a lot of disunity. And disunity means that we lose the battle. And losing the battle means that we just, like, do religion. And really, who wants to do religion? Because religion is just lousy. You know, we want to do Jesus. We want to be about life in Christ, which means that we got to handle our conflict rightly so that critical spirits don't show up. And I've been noticing this, not hugely, but just sort of underlying in a lot of personal relationships, like interpersonal relationships with people sometimes, you know, just a little conflict, a little thing here or there that doesn't get worked out. And that produces a critical spirit. We don't want the critical spirit. Critical spirit produces disunity. We have to be right in our conflict, okay? Just talk about it. That's what community is. The family that doesn't talk is the family that's divided. That's why we have these, all right? So be very careful about the critical spirit. Small groups have to move forward. And if Pastor Tim was here, he'd be saying this louder than I am. Small groups just time. There's some stagnation there. It's become a program too much. It's still not become life. Pastor Tim and I are gonna force this issue, just to let you know. There's gonna be some points of uncomfort over the course of the next 6 months for small groups. We have some plans that we're gonna sort of lay out. You're gonna be hearing from us in your small groups over the course of the next couple of months. It's going to be great, I think. It's going to be exactly what we need, but it's going to take some work on our parts to get there. But small groups, in order for us to continue going to the next level, small groups got to move forward. Family ministry is our next focus. I always, you know, at the State of the Family, I try and tell you where we're going. For the summer, we're focusing on family ministry. And by family, I don't mean mom, dad, kids. I mean family here at Cornerstone. That has to do with moms and dads. It also has to do with single people that we have here. Right. It also has to do with our children and how we interact with our children. It has to do a lot with how we interact as family here at Cornerstone, as well as how we interact with families, with one another in our homes. But we really want to be a family. But again, families are very messy. None of us comes from a family that's not messy. Right? Every family is dysfunctional. It's a matter of what degree of dysfunction do you choose to go to. So family focus is where we're headed next. The whole summer, it's going to be disjointed because we have some special speakers that are coming in. But it's going to be family focus. And then in the fall, we're going to head into the book of John. And if you thought I got excited about spiritual warfare, wait till you see me in the book of John. It's my favorite book in the whole Bible. It's like Jesus at his best, and so some of the best writing that you can find. John blows my mind. I mean, I love the book. I've read it. I've translated it. I've taught it two other times, never at Cornerstone. It just continues to blow me away. Jesus is so cool. He is just so awesome. I mean, that's good stuff. Yeah, feel free. Sorry, I'm just speaking on, I continue to speak, he just blows me away. You know, I mean, continually, I'm just like, man, this is so awesome. The book of John is so great. We're going to have some fun in the fall. Make no bones about it. It's going to be cool. So that's where we're headed in our teaching and stuff. Are we all cool with this? Is the family all right? I mean, we have some issues. You know, we work through them. Hey, you know, if we're a family and if I'm like, I play some sort of a dad role in that, you know, I just want you to know that I love you. I think that you're the greatest bunch of people in the world. Who was I talking to? Maybe it was Dennis. It was somebody. Maybe it was Ben. One of the elders. I was just saying, they were saying, so, you know, you've been here for about a year and a half. How's Cornerstone working out for you? Literally, folks, there is no other place I would rather be. I don't sit in my office and go, man, maybe one day I'll be able to do this. No, I'm doing it, you know. There is no other place that I'd rather be. I mean, I love being here. My family loves being here. I love our family. This family, I mean, you're just great. You're just a great family. So it's cool. It's great. I think God's doing great things in and through us. And man, I'm just looking forward to the future as we continue to move together, particularly in unity, in prayer, and in caring for our kids. That's where God's taking us right now. So that's where we're going to go. Stand up. Let me bless you, and then we'll be dismissed. And so may you, my brothers and sisters at Cornerstone, may you know that you are a child of God. May the depth of that statement, that you're a son and daughter of the King, may it truly be burnt into your heart. And may you be pulled fully into your destiny as we follow our God together. Amen. Amen. Go with God. I'll get that for you. Just joking.